G'day gentlemen, this video, this presentation rather, is going to be about a young gentleman, about 22, maybe 23 years old, who goes by the name of Abraham. And if you guys can recall in that video that I had previously put out called The House of MGTOW, I had a man that would stay here and he went by the name of Mr. T. In the end, I had to get rid of Mr. T because Mr. T was just too abusive. I mean, it was in increments. It wasn't that bad in the beginning, but eventually just got too much. And I think people abuse, if they see someone that's good and decent in front of them and they can get away with things, they just start to push the limits and it ends up going spiraling out of control. So I ended up having a spare room. For those that don't know, I have a 3-bedroom house. I ended up having one spare room and I was pretty comfortable with having that spare room. It's got a veranda. I could go outside whenever I felt like, you know, being upstairs on the veranda, having a coffee and just chilling out. My brother-in-law had asked me if I had a spare room after a couple of weeks of me not having anybody in there. And I said, yeah, I do. Why? And he said, look, you know, my business partner, he's got a friend whose son's coming to Australia and they don't have anybody over here. And if you could please do him a favor, if you do, you know, you do him a favor, you're doing me a favor, blah, blah, blah. And rent out that, if you could rent him out that room and whatever you want, we'll look after you, blah, blah, blah. I said, like, nah, man, I don't want to rent the room out. And I'm happy the way it is. Eventually, after a week or so, my brother-in-law's business partner approached me and he said, look, please, this young kid's got no one here and what do you want us to pay, man? We'll pay you whatever you want. So look, and it's not about the money, I'm just happy with the way it is, and it's quite quiet now. I like tranquility. And his response was, look, you got to do something for him, it's, you know, slack, blah, 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 blah. And I sort of felt sorry for this kid. I said, look, I'll give him a shot. And they asked me, look, what do you want per week? And I told them X amount. And they said, oh, okay, that's pretty good, actually, compared to other properties around the area. I said, look, let me know when he arrives and the room's pretty much, it's ready. So the day came and this young kid moved into the room. Tall, very lanky fella, polite, well-mannered, well-groomed. He knew how to, I suppose, look after himself from a visual point of view anyway, appearance point of view. He's come from a country that is completely alien to this country in the sense where he doesn't even know how to speak a word of English. And mind you, this guy that is supposed to be a friend of his father's, who is my brother-in-law's business partner, gave me the rundown on how close he and his father, as in Abraham's father, were. You know, they're pretty tight. And, you know, if you look after him, you're looking after me. So he gave me that talk, whatever. And apparently Abraham was supposed to be working for my brother-in-law and his business partner. So they're going to get him a green card. And a green card in Australia is also known as a white card. Today we call it a white card. It's just a occupational health and safety card, so that they're going to get him this card. It'll cost about $100. And throw him on the tools and he'll work for them as a labourer, as a formwork carpenter labourer. Now, if Abraham's happy with that, we're all good. If he's making money for himself, if he's happy doing that, it's pretty good for him, I suppose. And we'd start talking, start to get to know myself, I'd start to get to know him, and found out that he was the only male child in their immediate family. He has a sister. I can't recall if his sister was 1 year younger than him or 1 year older than him. I mean, it's probably not important if it's only that much of a difference anyway. But I sort of knew straight away that this guy is the drone, the male utility of the family, thrown from one country to another so that he can go out and make money and support this family that's living overseas. And obviously they're going to give him a false illusion of go out there, work, you know, you're doing yourself a favor. You know, you're going to get married, make a few thousand bucks, get engaged, find a girl, find a chick and settle down, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of gain for them as well. For a person such as Abraham moving into my house, and as some of you guys know, I have another friend of mine who lives in here as well, who comes from a relationship where he was abused and pretty much ran away from the female that he was living with at the time and came here. For Abraham, I think it was very, you know, important to learn a few things about female nature, male nature as well, and how ultimately he's just being used. Hypergamy is prevalent amongst men and females. I mean, ultimately we know that females are clearly the worst of this type of abuse, where it comes to using a male and then just discarding him and throw him under any bus or a train, throw him over a cliff when there is no more use for that male. Hence you have what we call Breitfeldt's law. But he learned quite a hell of a lot in 2 months. He saw police come to my house. He saw how I had to deal with police on multiple occasions. For him it was pretty scary because he didn't understand a word that they were saying or a word that I was saying to each other. But I would explain things to him. There were some things I didn't need to explain to him that were just pretty clear and just common sense. I let him hear some of the recordings that were in the act in my previous relationship with my now ex, and they were very overwhelming for him. But he learned a lesson there that although you may be an innocent party, you will still be targeted by police. You'll be targeted by people that don't know you if they have formed their own opinion of yourself. And for him, it was like, wow, shit, you've been through all this and she's done all that to you, and yet still the police will come and treat you like you're an aggressor. And what the hell? You haven't done anything wrong. She's done all these other things. She's done all these things wrong, and yet they don't let you see your kids. I'm like, look, this is not just a one-off case. It happens a lot. It happens on many occasions. There is a community from Lebanon that lives in Australia. It's a pretty big community. And there's a lot of guys that are suffering the same fate that I'm suffering and have had their kids stripped away from them by their ex-wives, ex-partners, obviously with the full force of legislation and government. And he knew some of these families. He knew the surnames of these families, and he could actually point out which villages these families came from in Lebanon. This guy was street smart from Lebanon, in the sense where he knew how to hustle. He knew how to get by, I suppose. When you're living in a third world country, you sort of have to read between the lines just to survive. But there are some things that we, in countries like Australia, Canada, America, the United States of America, Europe, all across the globe, where although we're not living in these third world countries, we also read between the lines that other men across the globe can't read, and we start to hustle our own way. And, you know, hustling, with all due respect to the word hustle, in the sense where I'm not talking about, you know, gangster hustle, I'm just talking about survival. We hustle a MGTOW way. Being a switched on kid, this guy picked up a hell of a lot in such a short amount of time. Now, in the 2 months that he stayed here, this so-called friend of his father's, who was supposed to employ him, got him four days at the most of work. And I'm not saying that he should be relying on this person that promised that he's going to get him all this work and XYZ. He only got him 3 to 4 days work. I ended up giving him a call and I said, look, mate, you've promised him that you're going to provide him with some work, some time to get out there and make some money. You've also told me that, you know, whatever you want and, you know, we'll look after you. Don't worry. We know this kid and blah, blah, blah. Why don't you give him some work? The kid's been sitting down for two months. It was a bit over 2 months, but he's been sitting down for at least 8 weeks. You've only given him a couple of days work. I mean, a few days work. What's the go? And then you hear it, the hypergamy coming from the male as well. And it was, look, you know, I can only do so much for him. What do you expect me to do? He doesn't want to work. You know, he doesn't call me all the time. And if he wants to work, he should be calling me. He should be calling me. And I'm like, what's the difference if he calls you or you call him? Have you paid attention to some of the dynamics of these gentlemen that come from overseas? Has that ever crossed your mind that he might not have any credit? Or in other countries called units. In Lebanon, they call them units. So I didn't know that. But he didn't have any credit to access his phone and make phone calls. And he actually had the nerve to say, well, maybe he can use your phone. And like, did it ever cross your mind that maybe he's too shy or too embarrassed to ask me if he could use my phone? He's got no money. Maybe you should give him some work. I know that you guys have a lot of work because I work for you guys every now and then as well. Yeah, but it's different for you. You're a carpenter. We need you. You know, and he's just a laborer. We don't really need, and there you have it. There you have it right there. I'm in demand because I'm a fully qualified carpenter. I know how to erect staircases, columns, soffits, beams, boxes, walls, the whole shebang. But this kid's just a laborer. He's just a laborer. His utility is not enough. He can't provide what we need. So when we need him, we will call him. It's pretty sad just to realize. I mean, like, you have these people that will, you know, allege that they're friends of your family, and then ultimately they're just using you as well. Every now and then, Abraham would have his mother call him, father call him, how you doing, you know, how you pulling through, are you coping well, are you eating, and to be honest with you, I noticed his mother would call him a hell of a lot more. Towards the end, he actually started to wake up to some of the things that men from overseas don't realize, and things, subtle things, that are actually very important things, like, why is she ringing me so much? I mean, I know she's concerned about me, but why call me 3 or 4 times a day? Why were his parents, he actually said this to me, why were his parents trying to find him work while they're not even in the country? And I mean, yeah, you don't want to be a bum. You want to work. We know that. But the hardcore push for getting someone to be thrown into work, regardless of if the person likes doing that type of work, and not having any sensitivity with regards to what field he would like to work in, just being treated as an animal. He was telling me these things. And it's not something that he liked to do. He had some experience, but he didn't like that type of job. He did some work in carpets, laying down carpets, but they didn't have much work. He liked carpentry. I think it's called carpentry. He wants to do a course. He wants to do a course. It's something that he actually liked, and I'm happy that he is pursuing something that he likes rather than something that his family is pushing him to get into just for the sake of the dollar sign. So that's a good thing for himself. Now, I gave him the rundown of of men going their own way, the so-called MGTOW induction. And I explained to him a lot of things with regards to hypergamy, and as I said earlier, Breitfeld's law. I explained to him what a red-pilled man like myself is and how we perceive the world. And he actually respected it. And it started, some things he told me started to make sense from his perspective with regards to some things that he used to question. He was staying here. He's actually moved out now. He's moved out to a friend of his, a place where he's staying now. I'm happy for him because he's living with his friend. He doesn't need to pay rent. His friend has, he knows him from Lebanon, from Lebanon days. He works in carpentry, so not carpets, not carpet, but carpentry. And he's just, chipping away, working a few days here and there as a carpenter, but he's pursuing the field of carpet, laying down carpets. So he texts me, messages me, we still communicate on Facebook, and I'm really happy for him in a sense where, he's young and he sees the world a lot better than what a lot of young people his age would see it. I don't know if he's a red-pilled guy. I know he's not a blue-pilled man, but there's a lot of things that he learned, and something that he passed on to me was the word hypergamy in Arabic. The most befitting word that he could find in Arabic that could fit the word hypergamy was the word maslaha. And the word maslaha means to use someone, or to be in a situation only for the fact that you're going to have gain from that situation is known as maslaha. So maslaha is probably the closest word that I could find to be the equivalent to hypergamy. It's an Arabic word. It's really sad how a lot of these young guys come out from overseas, whether it be Pakistan, Lebanon, even Europe. I've spoken to men that come from Europe when I was working in the CBD in Sydney. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue on what awaits them. They go out there blindly, working their asses off. You have some of these guys that are so dedicated and so focused, they'll get a job working in a service station from irrespective of their background, irrespective of their background. And they'll work at in a service station from they'll work a 10-hour shift. They'll leave. They'll go home. They'll sleep about 2, 3 hours. And then they'll go and work in a reception, in a hall that has a reception. There might be a wedding, an engagement, a party of some sort for another few hours, and the cycle just repeats itself. I don't know where they fit the time to study. They study, they go to university, and they're very successful. I mean, in a sense, that academically, they end up becoming successful academically, and then they have some money that they were making, but most of it's all thrown into university, but all for an ultimate goal of getting married. All of this has been driven with a force which can be labeled marriage. We have the biology aspect of things, men that, yeah, we have a sex drive, but we also have dreams. We want to be providers. And it's funny that when I remember when I was young, I'm still young. Don't get me wrong, I'm not old. Most of us men, we're still young. We can do a lot of things that we want to do, and do what we used to do when we still, in our own minds, used to call ourselves young. I'd be talking to a female, and I realize a lot of men still do that. Back then, I would be talking to a female and, I can do this and I can do that. I make X amount of dollars. I'm so good. I say, great. And I can provide is really what I'm saying. All I was saying to this female or these females and all the relationships or potential relationships, even girlfriends at the time, is I can provide this, I can provide that. And the females don't ever reciprocate in that kind of way. It's not like, oh, you know what, I can provide this as well, I can do this for you as well. It's never like that. It's not what they can provide for you. It's all, even from our own selves, all we do is project this thing about what we can provide. And here are these men, that work their butts off, nearly kill themselves, and throw themselves in a position when they get married, not realizing what position they're really throwing themselves in, pretty much committing suicide. You've worked all your life, you've reached this bar that's so high and so up there, only to then just get married to some female that doesn't have a clue about what you're studying, and she thinks she's some glamour, she's just Miss Princess with some symptoms of narcissistic personality disorder, to then just be in a position to ruin your life without a shred of empathy, not giving a fuck about what you've been through, how hard you've studied, what you've achieved, how hard you've worked to get to that point. All you're doing is standing on a stool with a noose around your neck and these females running around you. Whenever she chooses to, she can just kick that stool from under your feet and you're gone. You're gone. She'll kill you. She'll destroy your life. Some of these discussions I've had with Abraham, and Abraham's, he's learned quite a lot. There's a lot of other young men that I've spoken to, but obviously they didn't live in my property, so I couldn't communicate with to this extent. But I'm happy. I'm proud of myself. Sometimes I feel I say to myself, shit, man, was it really a good thing, me, you know, teaching this kid about all these things at such a young age? You know, this MGTOW induction. But this young gentleman has learned some things that money can't buy. Money can't buy this information. And he will be taking some things with him that can potentially save his life and stop him from being a statistic. That's one thing he can take with him. Another thing that he can take with him is, you know what? Yeah, man, I can make money and spend it on myself. Why should I give it to a selfish female that ultimately doesn't give a fuck about me? And he's realized that, okay, his parents want to get him out there working 8 days a week, but he doesn't have to work 8 days a week. He can work 2 days a week, 3 days a week. He can follow and pursue something that he wants to pursue and not kill himself in the process and chip away at his goals, whatever they may be. I sort of feel sorry for the kid. I'm not going to lie to you, because he is young. I know he's vulnerable to all these blue pill sharks out there, whether they be female or male. But that's life. And at the end of the day, men are going to have to make their own decisions. I suppose I did my part. I played my part. I feel good about me. I feel good about myself, you know, naturally, just giving the guy some advice. I feel maybe that's a provider role right there. I'm providing information for my younger brother, so to speak. A younger brother coming from any background whatsoever. For me, all men are brothers. As long as men have that respect and see eye to eye and don't throw men under the bus. So maybe us men as providers can provide other men, especially men going their own way that are fathers, having that insight, having that knowledge, sometimes talking to younger men like their brothers, sometimes even talking to them like they could even be a son. Providing information doesn't have to be a provider role only to females. I mean, females being female adults, There's no way I'll be providing for a female, especially female adults. They have it all anyway from the government, and they don't come with you. They don't come at you with sincerity. And again, usually it's, as in most of the time, all the time, it's just hypergamy anyway. Well, I suppose that's all I have to say on that subject for now. And once again, guys, look, thanks for listening. I hope I've said something that you guys can take as positive out there. I'm just trying to contribute to men going their own way. And a big thank you to everybody out there. Talk to you guys soon. Bye for now.